Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Each weekday on More to Life, we'll explore the life you were meant to live through the theology of the body.
Tune in for great advice, guests, and the information you need to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the Internet at WDEO.net.
My guest is Michael Hitchborn, who's been on Church and Culture before. I'm having him back because he has recently released an important report about the relationship of the Catholic Church to various what we could call social service, charitable organizations, and which raises the problem of coalitions that the Catholic Church enters into. Michael, welcome to Church and Culture.
Thanks, Dale. It's always a pleasure to be on the show with you.
You know, what prompted me to call you about coming on today was a debate over Cardinal Dolan's decision to remain as the Grand Master of the St. Patrick's Day parade next year in the light of a openly gay, lesbian, transgender, etc. group who applied to the Hibernians who run the parade to be included and to be able to march under their banner. And the Hibernians accepted, which I think obviously surprised Cardinal Dolan, but he decided to remain as Grand Master. Now, it looks to me from a distance that the argument being given by all parties, including Cardinal Dolan, is that it's fine for Catholics to symbolically, as it were, march alongside of groups diametrically opposed to Catholic teaching for the sake of a larger goal such as helping others or building relationships with groups that we don't have relationships with, and to try and show the world that we are not, as it were, hateful or not prejudiced against these groups or the individuals in them. Isn't this the kind of thing that you come up against constantly in your investigation of groups, of organizations, such as the Catholic Campaign for Human Development and so forth?
Absolutely. When we do our research with regard to CCHD or Catholic Relief Services or any of those other organizations, we have one very particular criteria in mind when we consider the use of coalitions or the participation in coalitions, and that's that there's a big difference between joining a coalition in order to do something very good. Let's say that there's a coalition out there to simply try and feed people that are starving on the ground in a particular area.
Like, for example,
the Catholic group
in Jordan, all the Syrians coming in because of the recent conflict.
Sure. So if a Catholic organization were a member of this coalition, and say an organization as vile as Planned Parenthood also decided to attach its name to it, that would be guilt by association. The Catholic Church cannot be held accountable or responsible for doing a good work that Planned Parenthood has also decided to attach its name to. But that is vastly different from running a coalition or being on the governing body of a coalition that is then allowing for vile organizations like Planned Parenthood or GLAAD or GLSEN or some of these other actively homosexualist organizations to be participants under their own banner to show what they are supporting and promoting as well. There's a huge difference between that because, one, the Catholic Church would be participating in something that is already good in and of itself. The other puts the Church in a leadership position that is allowing for the bad elements to participate, and that's the big difference that we
want. Michael, you are director of the Defend the Faith program or project for the American Life League. You've been with the American Life League now for 7 or 8 years. You have five kids. You went to Christendom College. And you have, over the last 5 or 6 years, I know of, really focused in, really drilled down on this issue of not just how Catholics cooperate or collaborate, but how Catholics, the Catholic Church, gives its money toward projects where they come into association with pro-abort or pro-homosexual marriage groups. So, I mean, how can you put the principle on the distinction between the kinds of collaborations that are licit and those that are not? What's the principle at stake?
Well, the principle at stake really lies in the degree of organization within the collaboration. So if you're simply a part of a collaboration for a good end, that's okay.
Like feeding the hungry or
feeding
taking
hungry,
care of migrant people, refugees,
yes.
So forth. Okay.
That's fine. But if the coalition itself has a particular goal to promote contraception or to promote abortion or to promote the homosexualist agenda or any of those other kinds of things, then that would be an illicit coalition. You can't be a part of something that has as one of its goals something that is antithetical to the church. In the same respect, if you are on the governing body of a coalition and there are participants that are being allowed to operate under their own functions, which are antithetical to the church. So if you're on the governing body of a coalition that is allowing Planned Parenthood to set up a booth, that would also be illicit.
Now, you just recently come out with a report that describes just such a coalition. Why don't you tell our listeners about it?
The report that we've done, the title is Catholic Social Injustice, is part of our American Life League report series. The report focuses on something called the World Social Forum, which is an international Marxist agency. It was set.
World Social Forum?
Yes.
The World. And how long has this been in existence?
It came into existence in the year 2000. It was organized and funded by socialist parties down in Brazil. And in fact, the sad part is that it actually was largely organized by a local Catholic university down there as well.
Unsurprising. Unsurprising.
Right. Well, with very strong ties to liberation theology, so it's, you know, all part of the same same environment. And so the World Social Forum, founded by Marxists, funded by Marxists, part of their agenda is to their rallying cry is another world is possible. And so they're kind of a revolutionary kind of organization. They talk about peaceful revolution, but they also march around with the hammer and sickle, and they talk about revolting against authority.
They still do that?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, even after we know what Mao did, what Stalin did?
When you look at the pictures in the video report, you're going to see people marching through the streets with big red hammer and sickle flags. You're going to see people marching through the streets with Mao and Stalin and Karl Marx banners. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is who they are.
So they don't care about the 30, 40, 50 million that were killed by Stalin and Mao?
No. No, that doesn't appear to be a part of their concern because they think that a new form of communism will circumvent that kind of oppression. They think that they can reform communism in order to make communism more palatable or more humane, I suppose. But
less deadly.
Less deadly, perhaps. But then at the same time, they also invite pro-abortion and pro-homosexual organizations to participate in the World Social Forum in order to promote reproductive rights, homosexual rights, gender rights, and that kind of thing.
Well, I would assume the Catholic Church has nothing to do with such a body.
Well, and see, there's the problem, because what we found out is that Caritas Internationalis, which is a Vatican-run agency, It's actually the umbrella group for Catholic Relief Services and Catholic Charities USA and all of the other social development organizations in the church around the world. Caritas Internationalis is on the International Council of the World Social Forum, and the International Council is the governing body of that agency.
And have you been able to contact anybody from Caritas Internationalis?
I have not spoken with anybody from Caritas about this. I did take my concerns to Cor Unum, but I don't know what.
And how? Why would you take it to Cor Unum?
Well, because Cor Unum is actually the organization that was set up as kind of a watch for Caritas and the other social justice agencies in the church.
Now, was this under John Paul II or under Benedict?
Because
I remember this happening. But you took it to them, and what did they say?
Well, I know that they were very interested in my information.
Okay.
And I don't know what transpired after that.
How long ago did you contact them?
Back in May.
Have you heard back from them?
No.
So this is just another case of a situation that needs to be addressed because it's scandalous, and yet nobody seems to be addressing it, at least in public.
Well, and therein lies the problem, because Caritas is still calling for people to actively participate in the World Social Forum. There doesn't appear to be any change, at least on their end of things. And, you know, for us in the church, when we find information like this, and we do bring it to the attention of the church, how do we know how to gauge our public reaction when we don't get any kind of response or assurances that things are being taken care of?
Well, you're doing the work, you and your associate, Rob, and you're publishing the reports. I know that many, many bishops are reading them and taking them very, very seriously. You're the one that must be frustrated because you're publishing all this very up-to-date and accurate information, and at least, again, on the surface of it, nothing's being done about it.
It is very frustrating. I am thankful that God is a God of fidelity and not a God of results. So I will simply continue to do what he asks me to do, and in the meantime, I'll let him handle the consequences. But it is frustrating because I think that there are a lot of souls that are in peril by participating in this kind of thing, especially if Caritas is encouraging people to participate in the World Social Forum. They're exposing those Catholics who participate to the ideologies of Marxists, people who are attached to the ideologies of Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Karl Marx. I mean, the Catholic Church, Catholic bishops, would never say that a Catholic should participate in a rally for, say, a pornography forum. So why would they allow for them to participate in something that is akin to philosophical pornography?
Well, in doing your investigation of this World Social Forum and the participation of Caritas, have you come across exactly what role Caritas plays in their meetings? I assume they have annual meetings and other get-togethers.
They do have annual meetings. I've looked into many of the minutes of these meetings, and Caritas is an active participant in all of the international council meetings that I've seen. And in these meetings, they actually address some of the issues of reproductive rights and LGBT rights and things like that as participants in these forums, and I never see any kind of objection. I never see any statement that Caritas objects to the inclusion or objects to the aims of these organizations.
Every international conference, for example, United Nations conferences, allows certain participants to stipulate disagreement on the record and make that disagreement public.
Right.
But this is not happening in the case of Caritas and the World Social Forum.
And if it is, it's certainly not being made evident in any of their literature.
How did you come across the existence of the World Social Forum in the first place?
Well, it's funny because it actually started with some of the research I was doing on the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. And this was very early on. We saw that a lot of organizations receiving Catholic Campaign for Human Development money were participants in this thing called the U.S. Social Forum. And so we looked into the U.S. Social Forum and we saw it. It was awful. I mean, it was absolutely wretched. They even had transgender bathrooms set up. They made sure that they had unisex bathroom policies that allowed for transgenders, women, men, whoever, to be present in the same bathroom together.
That's actually important to them?
It was important enough to make it one of the priorities on their in their documentation.
People are dying all over the world. People are going hungry. People are, you know, I mean, and they're worried about where you can go to the bathroom.
Well, we watched some of the live feed being pumped through the televisions they had set up all over the U.S. Social Forum, and they were constantly being bombarded, people who were there being bombarded with LGBT rights, reproductive.
Does it all come down to sexuality?
It really does.
Yeah.
And so I was looking into the U.S. Social Forum, and I saw that it was part of something even bigger called the World Social Forum, and I thought, well, what the heck is that? So I started looking into that. And as I was looking into it, I saw that Catholic Relief Services was a participant, Pax Christi International is a participant, CIDSE, which is one of the foreign versions of Catholic Relief Services. And there were a number of Catholic agencies, including the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur.
Contacted any of these other organizations about their participation in either the U.S. version of this or the national or international version of this?
No, I've not had any contact with any of the other organizations, mostly because I was so shocked about Caritas's involvement that I thought that it was more important for me to get in touch with somebody regarding Caritas than anything else, and that's why.
I mean, is there any financial advantage to Caritas being involved in this?
No. In fact, Caritas is giving money to the World Social Forum. So,
do you know how much?
I don't know how much. I do know that there have been times when they've taken up various collections, but actual financial numbers are hard to find. They're kind of sparsely sprinkled throughout their website. I've seen several thousand dollars being tossed around. I don't know exactly how much, though.
Where are they headquartered?
I've seen.
Where are they headquartered?
Who, Caritas?
No, the World Social Forum.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Are they virtual?
It's more of a virtual thing. They meet in different parts of the world every year, typically in January, and they change their websites frequently so that what they do from year to year gets put on the internet and then scrubbed fairly quickly. So it's not easy to pin or track them down, but I have been saving everything that I find or everything that I come across whenever they put them up on the internet.
Well, this is so outrageous. Yet, and thank you, Michael, for, you know, finding it. I know Rob Gaspar at American Life League is, you know, helps you in this research, and Judy Brown, of course, support you fully. I would think that among bishops that you put this in front of, there would be immediate expressions of horror.
Oh, you bet. In fact, every single bishop that I've shown this information to has recoiled at the information.
Physically recoiled.
Yes.
Yes. And, but, you know, again, one or two bishops can create, you know, three or four or five or six, and then it can be taken to their annual meetings and so forth. Do you see any progress in that direction?
Once again?
Do you see any progress among the bishops you've talked to in terms of them putting together some sort of official recommendation?
With regard to Caritas, no. A lot of the bishops that I speak with actually ask me what they should do about it. And of course, my response is, well, I'm bringing the information to you because I don't really know what to do with it.
Is this really a Vatican call?
Well, I think it would be. And Cardinal Muratiaga is the current president of Caritas.
Now, where is he originally from?
South America. I'm not entirely sure which.
Well, certainly Pope Francis then would be a very, very familiar with this organization.
I would think so. Cardinal Muratiaga is very close to Pope Francis, so.
But I also think that what we know about Pope Francis is that this is not the kind of thing that he would want to be chummy with
at all. Absolutely. In fact, the very first words when he became Pope, he was very quick to say that the Catholic Church is not just another NGO. It's not just a philanthropic organization. If you're not bringing Christ, then you are bringing a dead church. And so I would assume that if he knew this information, he would equally recoil at it and order that something be done to stop it.
Well, Michael, you've had a lot of experience in talking to people who, in the church, who support this kind of association. What is the typical justification that you hear in staying part of these organizations?
The funny thing is, I don't really get so much of a justification as an excuse. That, well, we haven't crossed any lines. We haven't done anything morally wrong, so therefore it's okay.
We haven't done any. How are they defining that?
Well, they break down every aspect of their work with that coalition to such a degree that they completely remove any semblance of a sense of scandal. So
right.
even the sense of scandal, they're not even considering. They start with, well, have we crossed a line by working with this organization? Have we crossed a line by giving money to this organization that goes to a particular project that has nothing to do with anything that's immoral? So they're always looking for the line. And you know, if I were to enter marriage looking for how far I could take things without crossing a line, I don't think I would have a very good marriage.
But your point, your original point, the principle you stated is it's one thing to associate or to band together with organizations to address a very imminent problem. It's quite another to be on the governing board of a body that stands for certain positions that are contrary to the church.
Absolutely.
So how do they, when you hit them with that question, what do they say?
Usually they retreat to some moral principle, or they talk about how they have a review process that moral theologians and bishops are looking at this and seeing whether they've crossed any lines and what it is that they can and cannot do. So whenever I try to pin them down on any kind of principle, they always go back to a review process.
So it's a bureaucratic response.
Exactly.
In other words, take it up with the 10 unnamed people that we've gone to for approval.
Yes, that's precisely the process.
And, of course, I would guess they're all people who were handpicked to agree with them in the first place.
Generally, yes. And whenever I try to meet or talk with these individuals, I'm told, well, that won't be possible.
The reason being why?
Oh, I'm not given a reason. I'm just told that we don't see any fruit to be had or good fruits to be had from such a meeting. It doesn't seem like this is the right thing to do.
Well, has this association with the World Social, you call it the World Social Council, correct?
World Social Forum.
Forum. Has it been covered by any of the other Catholic media services, such as Catholic News Service, which is sponsored by the USCCB?
Oh, yeah. Well, when Caritas or Catholic Relief Services has participated in the World Social Forum and they put out a press release or put out some of their news announcements regarding the World Social Forum, yeah, that gets reprinted in Catholic News Service.
Without any mention of the problematic side of it?
Not at all. Not at all.
What about when they meet with the U.S. Social Forum, that version? Same thing?
Well, there's really no – there hasn't been a whole lot of discussion about the U.S. Social Forum because there's not been any real Vatican or Catholic tie to the U.S. Social Forum in a direct sense.
Well, who are the real bad guys who are members of the World Social Forum?
Oh, gosh, Jobs with Justice, Grassroots Global Grassroots Global Justice, the Fourth Internationale, which is
no.
Oh yeah,
really? I mean, it's like
an organization called MST, which is the Socialist Party of Brazil. There's PT, which is another socialist party.
Are there any outright communist groups other than the Internationale?
I think the Internationale's well. ATAC, which is a French organization, is very, very socialist. I don't know if
well, socialism goes under a lot of banners, as you know.
Oh, you bet.
And what you really, you know, you really have to add an adjective because socialism in itself is not going to be objectionable to the Catholic hierarchy. It needs to be a socialism of a certain kind, right?
Well, that's the general line of speaking. Yes.
How would you put a label on the kind of socialism that the church should not be officially a part of?
Well, anything that's materialistic in its philosophical thinking, I think, is objectionable to church teaching.
Let me push you on that. I'm going to come back to this after we take a short break because I think it would be helpful if we could define specifically what brand of socialism it is that we're upset about. I'm talking to Michael Hitchborn from the American Life League about a recent report on the World Social Forum, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, when the church spread throughout the world, it took on the character of various cultures. This helps to explain the nuances and tensions on the world scene between East and West.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
The Family of Faith Apostolate hosted marriage missionaries Greg and Julie Alexander at their September 2011 meeting.
We are here to bring people, to give them the truth, and to send them on. Our first exercise is healing and forgiveness, modeled after the Sacrament of Reconciliation, because some people haven't been to confession in 20 or 30 years, and they're wondering why they can't stand each other, because they don't have the grace. I used to think that confession was one of those Catholic things you had to do to remain Catholic. But then when I got married, I just didn't sin anymore. So I didn't need to go to confession.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. The Alexanders readily admit that they did everything that they could do wrong in their marriage. On our next program, we'll hear how the Holy Spirit intervened and taught them the Father's plan for marriage. Now they counsel others. It's a story you won't want to miss. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
I'm back with Michael Hitchborn from the American Life League. He and his colleagues have published a very important report on something called the World Social Forum, which surprisingly has on its governing board a Catholic organization, official Catholic, Vatican-associated organization called Caritas International. Now, you were describing the kind of socialist groups that you really objected to. You called them materialistic. What do you mean by materialistic, Michael?
Well, what I'm talking about is the idea that all things that are related to human beings, everything, all the issues that we deal with, really are just interpersonal relationships, that God doesn't have a part in it, that anything that needs to be solved can be solved by humans. We can solve the problems of hunger. We can solve the problems of poverty. We can solve this and we can solve that. And eventually when you do that, it breaks down into license where, well, if we can fix those issues, then we can coexist with all of our different religious beliefs. We can coexist with all of our different political and philosophical beliefs as long as we're not harming one another. And so you have this idea that across the plane, all of humanity needs to simply do is coexist and be nice to all of humanity, and we don't need God.
Why do we see then all this gay, lesbian, transgender, pro-abortion themes? Why do we see all these themes then being caught up in these organizations so predictably?
Well, because it's a humanism to a certain degree that we should all just get along and we can have and believe whatever we want to believe, and you shouldn't be out there trying to convert me to your religion or to your faith. I don't need to be saved because I don't have a problem. And that is the essence of socialism, is that nobody needs to be saved. We just need to make sure everybody's housed and fed. And it's a feed the body but starve the soul kind of mentality.
But there's also a kind of not just an apologetic for it, but an actual evangelization being done on behalf of the LGBT crowd.
Sure.
I mean, why are they so interested in creating converts to their perspective on sexuality?
Well, you know, I think that really falls in the lie of coexistence. Ultimately, the fact is that you can't have conflicting philosophies existing under the same set of laws. It's not possible, because automatically one is going to be oppressed. And I think the homosexuals understand that, but they're trying to convince the better part of humanity that if we simply just accept them, if we just, you know, believe that they're okay and we don't have to have any kind of conflict over the idea of homosexuality, that, well, then we can simply coexist. But that's not their aim. It's certainly not their aim. They've made that very plain and clear. What they want is active acceptance of what they are doing, and ultimately it's going to become that next pinch of incense for our day and age, where if you don't actively affirm homosexuality, you're then going to be the local pariah.
Well, that's what I think is going on, is that they're creating a consensus about how we judge the beliefs of other people, how we judge those people. I mean, it's sort of like the way former Speaker Nancy Pelosi recently spoke of Republicans, that if a Republican Senate was going to come out of the next election, then civilization itself is at stake.
Well, the civilization conceived in her mind, which is one that allows for unapologetic abortion and...
Well, is it this culture and the civilization being promoted by the World Social Forum?
Oh, you bet it is. It's the same idea.
And so why would Caritas, knowing that the World Social Forum has, for lack of a better term, hostile intent toward Catholic Church and its teaching, why would they want to be on the governing board of such an organization?
That's actually a very good question. If I were to give them the best benefit of the doubt, I would say that their response would be that they need a seat at the table in order to prevent things from going as bad as they would if they weren't there.
Do you believe that? Do you really believe that's their intention?
I have no idea what their intention is, but I can say that if that is their intention, or if that's their thought process, it's insanely naive.
Well, it's also probably not their intention, but that's just my intent. That's just my opinion. They're there because they want to be, and they're there in part because they don't care very much about the kinds of issues that you're raising with those
groups. Well, and that does come out in their literature. It certainly comes out in their approach to development. I mean, Catholic Relief Services came out fairly recently in an interview and said that they're proud of the fact that they're not out there proselytizing, which is crazy because
so why would they be proud of that?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that what they are looking at is that, well, we're just trying to do good. We're just trying to do good.
And there's nothing wrong with doing good.
There's nothing wrong with doing good, but if you're feeding the belly but starving the soul, you're not doing anything at all. And
I guess the question would be, are they going out of their way not to evangelize?
You know, I would say that that's probably closer to the truth. They don't hire exclusively Catholics, so going out...
And I understand that. I mean, there's certain expertise they need, right?
Well, I understand the expertise
yeah.
that they need, but at the same time, if you're not hiring Catholics, but you're a Catholic organization who's doing development work, and the number one mark of the church is to go out and make converts of the world, then they're not fulfilling that mark. And they can't fulfill that mark as long as they're using non-Catholics.
I know some non-Catholics in Catholic organizations who do a lot better job in communicating the Catholic faith than some of the Catholics.
Well, that's a very sad state of affairs.
You know I'm right, because you know the same situation. So I don't think the issue is hiring non-Catholics. I think the issue is whether or not you're hiring people who will support the mission and the message of the institution without apology.
Sure. Absolutely.
So,
and whether they're going out of their way not to do that... I don't know that they really have to travel far because they have kept their mission so narrow that it's not really part of what they do. In fact, I was told once by a high-level representative of CRS that, you know, I would never say this outside of these four walls, but one of the things that we do here at CRS is convert people. Now, we don't convert them to the Catholic Church. We just convert their minds into a way of thinking about how to treat one another.
Which is what?
Well, which is that we just want to play along to get along, which is what it translates to.
And is this how did we get into this sad state of affairs? Because certainly there was a time when institutions like this in the church didn't try to look and sound secular.
I think it's been a long time coming. If you look at the way social justice has kind of changed its tune from, say, Father Coughlin back in the 1920s.
Whoa, he wasn't all a good guy. Come on.
Well, no, I'm not saying that he was.
Yeah.
But if you look at the way he spoke about social justice in the 20s to how it has been used, say, in the 1960s, later, especially in the 70s, to where it's more like, community organizing and rabble-rousing and rioting and picketing instead of actually developing people into productive members of society who have a strong moral ethic, I think that it's pretty clear that you can see that there's been a process over the last 80 years or so to change the idea of what Catholic social justice is.
But have you found that sort of what you think would be symbolically the turning point when, let's face it, I mean, Catholic Church and Catholics want to help people in need, regardless of where they are or who they are. I mean, where was the turning point when this became so ideologized?
Probably with the first call to action meeting.
In 76 in Detroit?
Yes. I think that would probably be the very first cohesive moment that we could see that social justice has taken a very strong turn from the straight and narrow path.
Yeah, I mean, I've had several church historians such as Rush Shaw describe that meeting. Rush Shaw was actually at that meeting.
Wow.
And he tells great, I mean, it's sad, but great stories about it, about how completely off the wall it was. But it was, in fact, an official meeting sponsored by the USCCB. Now, they disavowed it later on,
mm-hmm.
but it did allow the group called Call to Action, which was based upon that meeting, to come into existence and have, you know, some influence. But it seems to me that most of what it did was create a network of pretty powerful people who wanted to take over church apostolates in the area of social ministry, and sort of do to these organizations what Land O'Lakes and that document did to Catholic colleges and universities, which, by the way, happened in 67, so they were 10 years earlier.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't think that it's accidental that the last U.S. social forum, which took place in 2010, also took place in Detroit. And I also don't think that it's an accident that the American Catholic Council meeting, which took place just a couple of years ago, also took place in Detroit. It seems to
Well, you better tell our listeners what the American Catholic Council is. Is that what you were calling the national version of the
Catholic Council? Is it's basically a continuation of call to action. They're members with Future Church and a lot of very seriously dissident organizations that are attached to this whole idea of social justice.
Did they have a hotel big enough for 20 people in Detroit?
Right. Unfortunately, they had probably close to 50,000 participants. They had a very large...
In Detroit at the same time?
It was in Detroit just a couple of years ago.
And they had that many people there?
Yes.
Ooh, I better bone up on that. I had no idea that that was that successful. I mean, this is the one that Archbishop of Detroit formally distanced himself from, correct?
Bishop Gumbleton?
No, Archbishop Vigneron.
Oh, yes. In fact, he condemned any participation in the American Catholic Council meeting.
Yeah, that's what I recall. But the numbers suggest that there's still some gasoline in that engine.
You bet. They had a lot of participants. I remember seeing some video feeds of some of the discussions that went on there, and it was absolutely vile. I mean, the whole thing was it was an anti-Catholic fest, is what it turned out to be. But they wanted to call it the new Catholicism. It was this idea that we can change the church and the church's teachings, especially on sexuality.
Well, did they have a section on church music? Because I would have been all, you know, totally supportive of that.
Well, it depends on how far you want to go with the tambourines and the guitars.
Let's get some good music back in the church. Let's reform that. I mean, there are things worth reforming, but you know what we see here is a reformation in the direction of, and in fact, the American Catholic Council was stimulated in part by an overt attempt to, quote-unquote, democratize the Catholic Church.
Yes.
So that parish members could pick their priests, so that diocesan Catholics could choose their bishop and so on. Am I right about that?
You bet, yeah. In fact, one of the things that they had drawn up in one of their proposed plans was to encourage people in various parishes to stop donating or stop giving to their parish during the regular collections so that the parish would go bankrupt and then later buy up the parish after the Catholic Church shuts it down.
Lord.
Yep.
Now, tell me this, though. Is all these people know each other? I mean, people from the American Catholic Council probably have very close relationships to the same organizations that are part of the World Social Forum, correct?
That is correct. Yes, we've seen a lot of the same names.
And so we really know who's involved in what, correct?
We do.
And with those things in the public domain, isn't it possible to create a project not just to write about it, but to have official Catholic organizations and religious who are part of these things disconnect or disavow these relationships?
Well, I really think that it starts with the actions of the bishops. If a bishop were to condemn those organizations outright in his own diocese and say, look, you can't participate in these kinds of things, you can't listen to this kind of philosophy because it's erroneous, it really comes down to shepherding the flock and protecting the faithful Catholics from organizations that are trying to pervert their way of thinking. If individual bishops started condemning these organizations within their own dioceses and other bishops were doing the same thing, I think that we would see a resurgence of the faith.
And have you seen any, I mean, in the years you've been working on this, and of course I've worked on it as well, have you seen much progress in this direction?
I've seen some. Certainly as I talk to more and more bishops about what's going on, they're becoming much more aware of just how pervasive the problem has become. And I think that it's there's a lot of reason for hope, but we have to be vigilant.
Because I'm concerned that this, you know, with the all the things that are on the plates of bishops. I mean, just raising money, closing schools, dealing with the sexual abuse scandal, all these things. That the kind of issues that you're discussing get pretty low priority.
Yeah, I would say that they probably do. I think that the only time, unfortunately, when the issues that I raise get put to the top of the pile is when I make them public. I really hate to do it that way, but unfortunately it seems to be one of the only ways that I can get anybody's attention.
And I know that you've done that in the past, and have you, how public have you made this latest report on the World Social Council?
Well, as you know, it's been put together in a video report.
And where can people go see that?
They can see it on our website, www.all.org/YouTube. It will be right there, front and center on our YouTube page. They could also just do a YouTube search for the name of the report, which is Catholic Social Injustice.
Catholic Social Injustice.
Yes.
And they'll be brought to the video of this. I take it as your handsome face doing the video.
It is my face doing the video. Yes.
And and when did you actually publish this report? It's fairly recent, isn't it?
It's very recent. We just put it up. Honestly, I don't know because it's being put into post-production right now. We should be done with it by the end of the week.
Good.
So I don't know when you want to say that.
Now, so let's tell our listeners again where they can find this report once it goes up.
Okay.
Where do they go? One more time.
Well, you can go to our website for one thing, www.all.org. You could look at it on our YouTube page, which is www.all.org/YouTube. Or you can just simply do a search for the title of the report on YouTube, and the title of the report is Catholic Social Injustice.
You've done now reports on the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. You've done reports on Caritas itself, I believe. Am I right?
This is our first report on Caritas, actually.
Okay, but you've been in this business of really digging down deep on Catholic social service organizations for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
What lies before you in terms of the kinds of collaborations, coalitions, and so forth that you want to investigate? What kind of organizations and collaborations are ahead of you that you want to investigate?
Well, you know, the thing is we find new things all the time. The World Social Forum obviously is foremost on our plate at the moment, but as I continue to look and as I continue to research things, I find, unfortunately, even more collaboration with organizations that are aligned with the culture of death. I have more information on Caritas, which I'm going to pursue, but I'd rather not say which organization yet because I don't want to jeopardize the research.
The But, you know, we don't want to leave a false impression with our listeners about organizations like Caritas, because they are on the ground, for example, helping the millions of refugees that have fled Iraq and Syria in various countries from danger of death. I mean, they're doing an important work there. So I think oftentimes when this kind of criticism is leveled at them and it's heard by the general public, there's sort of a, well, let's let them have that because they're doing this job so well in the Middle East or Africa or wherever, and if they weren't there, it wouldn't get done. How do you answer that?
Well, and we certainly commend their work. We know how important it is to help people that are, especially like the refugees in Iraq. I mean, it's absolutely awful what's going on over there. But at the same time, I would say that Caritas would be far more effective in the work that they do if they didn't collaborate with organizations that are going to do similar things to what ISIS is doing now. By collaborating with communist revolutionaries, they're simply drawing in more Catholics to an organization that's going to attack the Catholic Church at some point. I think the Book of Wisdom put it perfectly. You know, who if you look at Sirach 12, he asks, who pities a snake charmer when he's bitten? And the fact of the matter is Caritas is right now playing with a serpent called communism.
Again, but, you know, I think most Catholics would sort of say, okay, but that can't go anywhere. I mean, communism has been thoroughly discredited all around the world. There may be these pockets of idealistic radicals in third world countries, but there's no way communism can get any traction at this point in history. What would you say to that?
I think people said the same thing about Muslims. I mean, I think that people were saying very similar things about how, well, the Muslims don't have much of an army, they don't have much of an organization, they're not unified, they're not really a threat to the church at this point in history. And now we can see, just a few years later, where that's taken us.
Do you think that some of these organizations that are part of the World Social Forum actually would take military action like ISIS has?
I do. If you look at some of the banners of those who were marching in the streets in Europe for the European Social Forum, you see banners that show fists raising AK-47s saying that every heart is a revolutionary cell. Absolutely, I think that they're very dangerous.
Well, you made my day. I'm going to sleep really well tonight, knowing that one of the major Catholic organizations around the world is sitting at a table with organizations like the Fourth International, and not raising any objections to their goals, their aims, or their message. I find that deeply disturbing.
Well, and it is deeply disturbing, and I think that, you know, rather than losing sleep, we should be on our knees offering prayers of reparation to the Sacred Heart. This is probably one of the most egregious offenses to Christ that I've seen in a very long time, coming from within a Catholic agency, and the only remedy is going to be making reparations.
Well, Michael Hitchborn, what you're doing with the American Life League in exposing these relationships that, frankly, are scandalous, your overall project is called Defend the Faith. Is it possible for people to donate directly to your project if they feel the call to?
Absolutely. If they go to our website, which, again, is ALL.org. There's a big red donate button right on the page.
How did I know there would be? How did I know that? And so they can help you directly continue your very valuable research. And I want to thank you, Michael Hitchborn, for being on my program, Church and Culture, again. We will have you back in the near future. I know there will be other stories, maybe happier ones to tell. Thanks for being on Church and Culture.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
And to all our listeners, please come back this time, on this day, next week, for more interesting guests.
If you have any comments or questions about Church and Culture, you can contact Deal Hudson at dhudson@avemariaradio.net.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Isaiah 66 describes the holy city Jerusalem as a place where God's love is present, like the comforting love of a mother. Mother Church is the New Jerusalem. Through the sacraments, God pours out His love that it may flow in us like a mother's love. As members of the Church, we share this love amongst ourselves. St. Paul told the Romans, "Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Practice hospitality." This love that builds the body of Christ is also a witness to others. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let us ask the Holy Spirit to give us the power to give and receive love in Holy Mother Church and be God's witnesses of love in the world. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The annual Oktoberfest at historic St. Joseph Church next to Eastern Market in Detroit is September 27th and 28th. Authentic German food and drink, arts and crafts booths, church tours, and more. Saturday Mass will begin at 4 p.m., followed by the festival at 9 p.m., with the Killarney Creek Band and swing dancing and lessons. Sunday Mass is at 11:30 a.m., celebrated in German by Archbishop Vigneron. A 3 p.m. choral festival with regional choirs and German music and dancers. Oktoberfest ends at 7 p.m.
Deacon Alex and Donna Jones shared their relationship story last year at the World Marriage Day celebration.
There came a time in my life, however, I felt I needed to get married. So I asked the Lord, "Now I want you to bring a wife into my life, and I want her to be pretty." So I went on after I prayed that prayer, and I went to Gary, Indiana, and I remember sitting in this house waiting for the prayer meeting to begin. The door opens, and in walks this gorgeous woman. But see, I was a holy man, and so I tried not to look. And so I would say that we fell in love at second sight, not love at first sight.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Pope John Paul II established World Marriage Day. Last year, we attended and recorded Deacon Alex and Donna Jones as they shared their story. Join us for Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and Ave Maria.